Oh boy. I understand. Yeah. The theme of my message this morning. Turn to Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Romans 14. Chelsea, nice to see you this morning. Hi. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This could be a long service or very short. This could be devotional or this could be extensive. The Bible says in Romans 14, 17, for the kingdom of God is not what? Meat and drink. Joe, Abram, nice to see you this morning. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I hope I haven't given away my subject yet. 1 Corinthians chapter, what did I say? I meant chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It says, whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. This morning I've titled my message, Refocus Your Appetites. Since our theme for the year is refocus, this week I was reading about King David. I'll get to that passage in a minute. But toward the end of David's life, it's clear that his appetites were refocused. I'm convinced, being in the medical community for a number of years, I'm convinced by being in the ministry community that for some of us, we need, every once in a while, a wake-up call. For me, it was Suburban Hospital getting an angiogram a few weeks ago that I didn't need, but nobody knew that until I was strapped down on the table and the doctor's looking inside my coronary arteries. I'm going to look at three things. Longing to loyalty, thirst to tribute, and hunger to honor. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that you would be with us this morning. Lord, this is a somber and sober meditative time for our community as the fallen and the funerals for those that were murdered this past week. We pray for their families. And Lord, we pray again that our community might be a model of restraint and forgiveness and grace. Lord, the word of God is clear when Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that there are people that are given over and there are people that, because they reject the word of God and the spirit of God so often, that they become unreachable, often unteachable. And Lord, we tragically saw the results. I pray for Dave and Susan this morning, as Susan tested positive for COVID yesterday. Would you be with them in a special way? Lord, be with our message and our service. Speak to our hearts in a personal way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, text of my message is 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. This is toward the end of David's life. You've all seen a bell curve. David has a number of bell curves in his life. Actually, I think he has three, one before he became king, one when he was king, and one after his son Absalom tried to take over the kingdom. So David basically has three major high points and three major valleys. In this chapter, chapter 23, it's usually titled A Catalog of David's Mighty Men. And right here in the middle of this catalog, this tribute to all of these individuals that really became David's military, an opportunity when David was in the cave of Adullam alone. He was an exile. He was a fugitive of the state. And there were those that gravitated toward David's integrity, toward his courage, toward his honor, and so on. And those individuals stayed with him his entire life. Here in chapter 23, verse 13, it says, "And three of the 30 chief." Now, these are, again, a catalog of David's mighty men. "Three of the 30 went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold." That's another way of saying in a cave, in hiding. He was in secret. "And the garrison of the Philistines," which of course was the eternal enemy of the nation of Israel, "where were they? They were in Bethlehem. And David," look at that word, "longed and said, oh, that I could go to Dairy Queen this evening." You just fill in your favorite craving. Okay, so David longs and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And we could park there for a long time, but what I'm going to talk about today is our appetites. Because for some of us, for all of us, our appetites rule. They just do. You could be minding your own business, and all of a sudden, bing, there's a thought. There's an association. There's a craving. You know what I'd like? Now, because we live in America, that usually is not a problem. Because usually we know where to go, and we know how to pay for it, and we know how to get there. So we can satisfy, even if you're not pregnant, the cravings that you have, usually in a reasonable amount of time. Now, if you're a teenager without a license, you're walking or you're riding your bike, but usually you can get that too. When I was a kid, my brother and I, he was 5 years younger, we'd get on our Stingray bicycles. We'd ride 2 miles for an ice cream float, 33 cents. 33 cents and 5 cents more for a kosher dill pickle. Marissa, your face is classic. So even as a kid, you knew how to get it. But that was a 2 mile ride one way. And you still had to have 33 cents. Verse 16, "And the three mighty men." Now this sounds ridiculous, right? "Three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines." And we're talking about wartime. "Three of David's finest warriors break through the host of the Philistines." And what did they do? "They drew water out of the well of Bethlehem." That was by the gate, exactly where David had this craving. "And they took it and they brought it to David." So the thing that he longed for, the thing that he craved, the thing that he was dreaming about was made possible. Oh, yes! Now, come on. You're with me, right, in this? The thing that you're craving, the thing that you'd like more than anything else in the world, at that particular moment, you make a statement, and Victor's at the store. He's got it. He's on his way home, and you'll have it within 15 minutes. The Bible says, nevertheless, believe it or not, I did an entire Bible conference on that word. I did 4 sermons on that word, nevertheless. He would not drink thereof. He poured it out. He emptied it. You got to be kidding me. These 3 guys are probably looking at themselves. We just hazarded our lives to get that canteen of water. What in the world is the king thinking? But notice, he said he poured it out to the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these 3 mighty men. I've never been in the military. There are many in this room that have. This right here has always spoken to my heart of honor and valor and courage. And something that many of us, quite frankly, don't know and don't understand. Unless you're a parent. Hello, is any parent out there? Sure, you've sacrificed, right? Oh, that's my ice cream! I mean, every once in a while, the kid comes out in us, right? Who had the last thing of milk? Who's the adult in the room? Where are my ho-hos? Oh, Cindy had them in the garage and I didn't know it. We all have our stash of something. You're all looking at me like you're so pious. Really? So here's a great story. And I'd like to refocus our attention on the principles here. First, I want to do an introduction. Oh, Manny, I need your legs. Abram, could I have your legs? There's a handout right there on the step. If you divide it and give everybody a handout, they can follow the outline if you don't follow the preacher. At least you have something to look at. Excellent. So first I want to introduce something that you're all very familiar with, eating and drinking. Now the Bible says, whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Now that's just not a quaint saying. I believe here is a perfect illustration where somebody did not drink to the glory of God. They could have, they desired to, they even made their wishes known. But when that thing that they craved, the thing that they desired in their heart was brought to them, they said, I can't do this. I shouldn't do this. There's something more important than this drink of water. Okay, so first, with our introduction, God promises to feed you. So if you're saying, oh, all right, Pastor, what are we supposed to do? Not eat or not drink the rest of our lives? I'm not saying that at all. I am saying that God promises to feed you. Psalm 37:3. God promises to feed you. Psalm 37:3. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and truly verily, thou shalt be fed. Now, I can give you 50 verses that talk about this, but I'm not. I think you understand that the Bible is from cover to cover full of promises. Stephen talked about that in Life Group this morning in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 27, 28, 29, 30. So we understand that God promises, God knows that we're flesh. God knows that we need nourishment. He knows we need nutrition. He knows we need fuel. The point, though, is, do you eat to live, or do you live to eat? That's a cute saying, isn't it? But boy, can you get traction out of that. When you wake up in the morning, and in your mind you're figuring out what you're eating for the rest of the day, you're living to eat, because that's the only thing on your mind. Really, this is a message to me. So if none of you want to hear this, this is fine. So God promises to feed you. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, a very familiar portion of Scripture. God reminds you that we need to trust Him. So God promises to feed us. God reminds us to trust Him. Matthew chapter 6. Starting in verse 25, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall what. But we do that all the time. I asked Cindy, where do you want to eat? I don't know, where do you want to eat? Hello, is anybody else with me here? It's not a rational thought, it's impulsive, right? What do you crave right now? Or what association do you have with, it's a sunny day, it's a gray day. Which restaurant, which fast food, which, and you go through all of these multitude decisions because you don't feel like cooking. You don't feel like making a sandwich. You don't feel like having cereal. Whatever it happens to be, God says, take no thought for your life what you shall eat, what ye shall eat, drink. Neither yet for your body what you shall put on. Ladies, is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Yes. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in barns. Yet if you look out the window, every single church service, you see them out there eating. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Oh, I wish I was taller. I wish I was shorter. I wish I was fatter. I wish I was thinner. Oh, please stop. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like a sunflower. Wherefore? If God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, where do you want to go eat? What should we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things, do the Gentiles seek? For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Third, eating is part of living. As we say, Proverbs chapter 13. I'm just going to throw a few of these out there. Proverbs chapter 13. As you turn there. Proverbs 13. Over the years, because I've struggled with my weight really my whole life. You wouldn't know that when I was in high school or college because I was always running, soccer and all that stuff. But as I've been getting older, things don't disappear as fast as they used to. So as I've been going through the Bible and I've been reading verses on eating that have been convicting me, I've got index cards full of Bible verses that I could read, I should read, before I become impulsively tempted to eat. Because these are all the verses that God's laid on my heart through the years. It says, you ought to pay attention to these. I know I should. So I'm just going to share some this morning so I can relieve some of my guilt. I want you to feel a little guilty too. Proverbs 13:25, the righteous eateth to the satisfying of his soul. Eating is part of living. But the belly of the wicked, what? Give me more. I want more. Since when Proverbs, is there another Proverbs there? No. The rest of these are in the book of Ecclesiastes. Proverbs are a little bit later. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. I'll give you the rest of the Proverbs later. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Eating is part of living. Solomon knew this. So Solomon gives us half a dozen verses, I think, that remind us. It's okay to eat. It is. Ecclesiastes 2 verse 24. Steve's just sitting there thinking, what in the world is he talking about? Ecclesiastes 2, verse 24. There is nothing better for a man. I like this, the way this starts. That thou should eat and drink, and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. I like that verse. Chapter 3, verse 13. And also, that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. That sounds encouraging. Chapter 5, verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink, and to enjoy the good of all his labor, that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, for it is his portion. Okay, Pastor, you got my attention. Ecclesiastes 8, verse 15 says, then I commendeth mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. Ecclesiastes 9, 7. Go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Chapter 10, verse 17. Chapter 10, verse 17. Blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength, and not for drunkenness. Okay, so that's my introduction about the theme that we need to eat and drink to maintain and to sustain. However, now let's refocus. 2 Samuel chapter number 23. Let's go back there. 2 Samuel 23. Again, we're looking at David. This is toward the end of his life. We don't have time to go through the entire life of David at this point. But he's really, at this point, only a few months away from passing. Because he doesn't know that. we'll talk a little bit about chapter 24 tonight in the evening service. But David is, I'm not saying reminiscing, but he's certainly toward the end of his life, and he's paying tribute to the most important men in his life. And during that time of reminiscing, he remembers and thinks about what it was like growing up. And in his mind, he had a favorite watering hole where the water tasted the best. Now, you might have that in your mind, where you tasted the freshest water on earth. Cindy's dad thought it was where he lived. The water in Port Lyden, New York, is incredible. It's delicious. Have you ever drank New York City water? Do you know where that comes from? The Adirondacks. That's why it's so good. It's absolutely amazing. Buffalo water? Not so much. Did you ever smell a glass of water? Rochester water? Not so much. So David is reminiscing, and he has a longing. He has a craving. So I'm going to refocus our attention using David as an example in this illustration, this story, where David goes from longing to loyalty. And that's not an easy path, right? Turn with me to Numbers chapter 11. There's a lot of examples that I could find in the Bible going from longing to loyalty. But this passage of scripture with David, I think, is indicative enough. In Numbers chapter 11, we have the nation of Israel left Egypt, of course. They're getting ready to go into the promised land. Numbers chapter 11, verse 4 says, "And the mixed multitude," that means Jews and Gentiles, Jews and those that are following the Jews as they come out of Egypt, that was among them, they fell into lusting. Now again, this is eating lusting. There are many types of lusting. You can lust for sleep. You can lust for intimacy. You can lust for power. A lot of things, but this is about food. How do we know? The Bible says so. "And the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat?' Because they're sick and tired of the manna. Angel food cake, they're tired of it. They want some flesh to eat. We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely." They were on the Nile River. I mean, seriously? "The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic." Could I pause for a minute? Sometimes when I leave church, when I'm in the foyer, you know what I hear? This is what I hear. I'm guilty of it myself. I'm guilty of it myself. But last Sunday we had a serious message. And last Sunday I didn't want to hear about the leeks and the garlics and the onions. So last Sunday I went to my office and just prayed after the morning service, because the sermon was so serious for me and for you. I didn't want to listen to whatever was going to be talked about in the foyer. So here's God's people. What are they talking about? The good old days. I guess I shouldn't say that. Have I ever talked about when I was lost? Yes, I do. Every once in a while I go into this place, and so do you. Every once in a while, we go to a place that we probably shouldn't go to. By association, we remember. Or a song comes up and we remember. Or a place reminds us of something that maybe we did there that long ago we probably regret. And now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. God hasn't been taking care of them all these months and years. Verse 11. "And Moses said unto the Lord, Wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? Wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them? That thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom, as a nursing father beareth a suckling child, unto the land which thou swearest unto thy fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. You're familiar with this passage of Scripture, aren't you? It gets worse. God answers their prayer. The quail come, remember? 3 feet. That's about waist high, right? Waist high quail. Have you ever seen a quail? A little flying bird. Kind of like a, what? A what? A pigeon? Little bird. Little chicken. Partridge. They wanted flesh. God says, okay, I'll give you flesh. I'll surround you 3 feet deep in flesh. Man, were they in heaven. Chick-fil-A, you ain't nothing compared to this. Fast food, right there. So much so, the food was coming out of their nostrils. That's what the Bible says. I didn't say that. God said that. Second helping of dressing, thanksgiving. Stuffing, thanksgiving. Mashed potatoes, thanksgiving. It's coming out of your nose. Mm-hmm. I'm the guiltiest person in this room. Listen to me. When I was in college, they called me Hoover. Do you know what Hoover is? It's a vacuum cleaner. That was my nickname. I wouldn't want that for you. Look, this is my message. If you can get anything from it, praise the Lord. Eli had two sons. Their name was Hophni and Phinehas. You know what they were guilty of? Not only laying with the women in the front of the temple. You know what they had a problem with? Meat. They terrorized God's people regarding the meat offerings. So much so, they made the sacrifices of God an abomination because they wanted the pork shoulder. Wrong animal. Sorry. But you get the idea, right? And they tempted their dad, where their dad was into this scheme too, and their dad became overweight. The Bible clearly says so. So here we have a snapshot of a man of God, a man after God's own heart, who at a moment of time spoke something and said, maybe he was thinking about his childhood. Maybe he was thinking about before he was anointed king. Maybe he was thinking about the days as a shepherd. Maybe he was thinking about being outside in the wilderness and under the stars and the Psalms that he was able to get a chance to write, and thought about, oh my, I used to love filling my canteen at that well, at that spring, at that brook, at that river, wherever it happens to be. And he longed for that. Secular dictionary says longing means to crave. Longing is hankering or lusting or wishful thinking or yearning. Now, I know that most of us attend a Baptist church. And sometimes Baptists hold their food almost in the same level as the ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. We could talk about, oh, you remember that? Remember that barbecue we had out there? Brother Dave had the big smoker. We had all those pork ribs. We could go there. But maybe, maybe, in David's life, maybe in our life, maybe it's time to refocus from longing to loyalty. What did he do in that moment? He didn't expect his soldiers to overhear him. He had no idea they'd be out of their mind crazy enough to do such a wild and crazy thing. Maybe George Patton had some wild men that if he said, I want a salami sandwich, that they'd go raid some place over in France or Germany or and get himself a salami. I don't know. I'm just saying. David spoke out of his mouth and out of his imagination and boom, three of his mighty men hazarded their lives for a canteen of water. And David's yearning and his passion and his craving, David knew instantaneously in the fellowship hall that somebody's going to watch me take a second, third, fourth, or fifth helping. Now, I've been known to do that in my past, in my present. If you ask my wife, she'll tell you. But I realize if I do that in front of the church family, what are you going to think of me? I'm a glutton. Yes? I'm a slob. I'm a pig. Why am I eating like a hog? You think those words are cruel? You think them yourselves. You think them about others. If my middle name was Hoover, I mean, come on. Stay with me here. If you guys weren't in the room and Edie had all that food in the fellowship hall and you all left and all that stuff was there, I'd have one of two choices, flee or feed. Come on. I would be grazing, serious grazing. Because some of that stuff in there, that was tempting stuff, except for the salad, right? Who brought the salad? Who brought the salad? Pastor brought the salad. Want to know why? Because everything else to me is tempting. Don't send me to the store when I'm hungry. I'm just saying. If you follow Dave Ramsey, you follow anybody about finances, don't send somebody to the store who's hungry. Because they'll buy more. And the stores know this. That's why they have end caps. That's why they have all the baked goods strategically located. Where's the milk? In the back of the store. That's the only thing you need. They make sure you pass everything to get there. And then, of course, the cash register person says, did you find everything you needed? Don't you want to slap them upside the head? Of course I found everything I needed, plus $100 more. You know, somebody who's addicted to cocaine, you don't send them to pick up cocaine for somebody else. You want to know why? They're not going to get it. So why send somebody to the store who's addicted to food to buy food? Right?
Because we have to learn temperance, fear control, and all of life's enjoyment.
Karen's preaching the conclusion of the whole message. Oh, that's all right. You've read the sheet.
No, I go to our
it's right there on the bottom. Mm-hmm.
I exactly.
Number two. It's turned into an inner city service where everybody's talking and preaching at the pastor. That's good. I like that. Number three. So we go from longing to loyalty. Now I want to go from thirst to tribute. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in and hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." Now it's time to go to Proverbs. I told you I'd save Proverbs for the strategic time. This is the strategic time. Proverbs is so full of practical life principles. There's so much wisdom in the book of Proverbs, you can't even mine it. You can't even gather it. Because every single chapter has like 25 different themes. I've said this before. I think the book of Proverbs is like a 31-story library. You walk in the vestibule. You walk in the entryway. And there's an index. Used to be a card catalog back in the day. And you'd go to that card catalog and say, "I want to look up wisdom." And you'd realize, man, wisdom is found on every floor. From the first floor to the 31st floor, there are places to go for wisdom. And there's places to go for eating. Let's go there. Proverbs 23. We're going to the 23rd floor, aisle 1. "When thou sittest to eat with a ruler, consider diligently what is before thee." You want to know why? You're being watched. They want to know what your what's the word I'm looking for? What? Weakness is a good word. What else is a ruler looking for when he's trying to tempt you with food? Where you're vulnerable. Where are you easily tempted? Verse 2. "And put a knife to thy throat. If thou be a man or a woman given to appetite." I'm doubly guilty. Put a knife to your throat. Be not desirous of his dainties. You know what that reminds me of? Olson's Bakery. Antoinette's. Come on. Dainties. Do you know what dainties are? The Polish Bakery right over here on Eastern Hills Mall. Who are they? What are they named? Chiz. Who? Yes. Thanks, Diane. "Be not desirous of his dainties, for they are deceitful meat." You say, "Pastor, you're taking this a little too far." Really, am I? I've never been addicted to cocaine, but I am addicted to Oreos. There's research, scientific research on Oreos. It has the same mental stimulation as cocaine. The results are not the same, obviously. We're talking about neurological scientific research on Oreo addiction. You're thinking, you're out of your mind. No, we have an addictions program here. You know that? And you think, oh, somebody's addicted to heroin. Yes, they are. They're addicted to cocaine. Yes, they are. They're addicted to Oreo cookies. Jose? Where is he? Yes, he is. But, you know, that's okay for Baptists to be addicted to something, because that's okay. We can buy those at Wegmans. You can't yet buy heroin at Wegmans. Verse 6. Proverbs 23, verse 6. "Eat thou not the bread of him that hath an evil eye." Because somebody has it out for you And they're trying to find out where you can be tripped up. Where is the hole in your armor that you can be compromised? Steve, in the military, you know this all the time. You better have your armor on. You better be geared up when you're in battle. You can't let the enemy know where you're vulnerable. Neither desire thou his dainty meats. Verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Verse 20. Aisle 20. Be not among winebibbers. I still can't figure out how Christians think that alcohol is okay. I'm just throwing it out there. Look, my dad was an alcoholic. I lost my dad at 18. Oh, wine is all over the Bible. Yes, it is. But please remember, wine is crushed up grapes. And crushed up grapes, when you begin and when you end, they're not the same. Right? Okay. Be not among winebibbers, or among riotous eaters of flesh. Riotous. They're having a riot over hot dogs. These contests that people have, like the world's largest pizza. And for the drunkard and the glutton. When's the last time you heard a message on gluttony? Ever? Have you ever heard a message on gluttony? Anybody, raise your hand. One, two, three, four. Wow. This is not a message on gluttony, but it's pretty close. For the drunkard and the glutton shall come to poverty, and drowsiness shall clothe the man with rags. 2 Samuel 23, and David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem that is by the gate. And the three mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. So David went from thirst to tribute. I understand what time it is. And third, David went from hunger to honor. Now that's a difficult thing. Esau sold his birthright. Can anybody tell me for what? What? Pottage. Lentil stew. Now, Cindy can make some awesome lentil stew. But to sell your heritage, your birthright, your legacy, your family name for a bowl of soup? I mean, seriously. Jacob. Jacob was deceived by his son over what? Venison. Because one son really knew how to make it the way his father really liked it. Oh, Pastor, you're really beating this to a pulp, aren't you? Yeah, I am. I am. Not because it's my problem, because it's all of our problems. And I'm just hitting on the one that I think is the most palatable. Pun intended. Because everybody has lusts and cravings. We're addicted to things that are destroying us, and we're not paying attention to it as carefully as we should. David caught himself in a moment, I don't want to say in a moment of valor, but these men courageously gave their lives for a canteen of water. And David said, I will not. I cannot disrespect him. And the three soldiers are probably looking. What are you doing? Why would you do that? I can't drink this. This water is so valuable. It's priceless. You want to know why? Because you gave your lives for this. How can I eat this? How can I drink this? I'm not saying that's how you should be at Thanksgiving. But we could be a little better, couldn't we? We could show a little more self-control, spirit control, temperance. That's the conclusion of the whole message. There are certain things that we could do and should do that perhaps we're not doing. You see the five items there, or the four items at the end of your sheet? We don't have time to look at them, but I think they're worth considering. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. Therefore, we can satisfy our needs to the glory of God. Yes? Can we drink water to the glory of God? Can we eat to the glory of God? Can we worship to the glory of God? Can you do work in the corporation for the glory of God? Yes. Next. Hunger humbles us and proves us. Not bounty, but hunger. Deuteronomy chapter 8 talks about God warns the nation of Israel that when you are full, you will forget me. God says that in Deuteronomy chapter 29. Job says in Job 23, verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Number three, fullness fosters forgetting God. Excuse me. Number four, Satan uses physical needs to tempt us. How did Satan tempt the first sinless man? With food. How did Satan tempt the second sinless man with food? Oh, Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. And fifth, temperance. Temperance is not self-control because you can't control yourself. Temperance is spirit control. What would the Holy Spirit have me do in this moment? That's a question to ask. You always know when I'm in trouble when Ronnie's Pizza comes to the church. I love bearing precious seed, I do, but when the pizza comes, I really need to stay away from the table. Why? I love pizza. Pepperoni pizza. I could eat half a large if I had to. Send me to the emergency room. Now. Not when I was Jeff's age. Do you have a problem with food? Maybe not. What do you have a problem with? Screens? You have a problem with screens? You have a problem with your mouth? You have a problem with money? Power? We all have our besetting sins, don't we? Oh, I just want to be loved. I just want to be liked. I just want to be approved. I just want to be accepted. God's love isn't enough. God's love should be enough. So let's refocus our appetites. Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and realize, I hope, that we can make our own choices before a wake-up call comes. We can make our own healthy choices before a medical emergency occurs. We can be more mindful of our health, since this is the temple of the Holy Spirit, and this is the only tabernacle that we have until we pass from this life. We could, we should be more intentional in how we treat it. Cindy, you can just play. Lord, I didn't mean to be mean, or certainly didn't mean to be graphic, or I hope I wasn't angry. I wanted to try to be transparent. Lord, we all struggle with things. Our flesh could be a mortal enemy of ours, because there's so many intricate network things that connect to our needs, our wants, our cravings, our desires, and God's will and God's plan for us. And only with the Word of God and the Spirit of God can we see how going overboard, sleeping, eating, intimacy, etc., we can defile ourselves, ruin our effectiveness, maybe even be a stumbling block to those that are watching our lives. If others are watching, and we need to be careful because little children are watching, why don't we worry about God watching? God knows our deepest thoughts. Lord, you know where every one of us are living at this moment. Everything that we are struggling with. I dare say everybody in this room is struggling with something. That's just the human condition. Let us take a moment and let's, in prayer, admit to God, confess to Him, name it, identify it, expose it. Give it to Him. Allow Him to carry it for you. Release it. Let Him steward that part of your life that needs custodial care. By ourselves, Lord, we're going to be shipwrecked. Give us wisdom and grace on how to navigate this area of our lives. Help us, strengthen us, encourage us. To the glory of God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.